Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with your host, Jane Marquis, ND. Today we have a very special guest joining us, Ty Gearson, the creator of The Story Arc. Ty has gifted us with a remarkable way of sharing the voices and stories of our loved ones, a gift that often leaves us amazed and surprised when we listen with our hearts. Too often these stories remain unheard, yet they create and carry profound wisdom and insight. But Ty's message doesn't stop there. He also sheds light on the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves and how these narratives shape our reality and our ability to manifest our deepest desires. Join us as we explore the transformative power of storytelling and self-perception with Ty Gearson on Meltdown to Mastery. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Ty.
Hey, Jane. Nice to be here. Look forward to a chat.
I'm excited, and I wanted to start with a quote of yours, and that is that I want to talk about the dark, the weighty, the resonant, and the really real shit. And I love that you give others a voice and a way to tell their story. And in my time as a homeopath and an ND, I've realized how rare that is for people and what a gift it is. But I also love that you are very aware of the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves and how they affect us. So where should we start? What resonates in your heart as a place to start?
Well, I mean, as we were chatting about just before we started rolling, as you said, like, it's so funny when you find those things, like, for example, listening or actually, you know, being a good or gifted listener, to be something that is rare, but you only, as we were discussing, find it when you start to observe how rare it is for people to feel seen and heard. And I think that probably resonates with a lot of people, just in general. Anybody within earshot or listening might in their day-to-day know how truly rare it is to be seen and heard. But, you know, what resonates for me is, as we were discussing, like, how, you know, you don't know what a gift that is in terms of, like, both owning and holding that gift yourself, but also what a gift it is to give it to other people, just that mm-hmm. gift of being seen.
Yeah, and just to take that hour or 2 hours that it takes to allow that to unfold and really listen.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny, this service that I started and this project that I started a while back, you know, as these things tend to, it's evolved and, you know, you start something and only once you get it up and on its feet do you kind of, well, really know what what it's going to then evolve into or turn into or by necessity need to turn into. But at the core, it was and is still about, you know, being seen and heard for the people who, you know, come to the service. But, you know, like, when it started for me, it started in, you know, a very kind of simple and innocent way. And as these things tend to, like, when I wasn't looking. And I, you know, I, to go off the name of your show, like, you know, meltdowns, breakdowns, like, it was 15, 16 years ago, something like that. And I had gone through a quite epic breakup. Like, not all breakups are breakdowns, I'm sure, as you've experienced or you know, but some are. And this one quite leveled me. As I said, now it's like 15, 16 years ago. It's funny when you think that, like, this thing that was such an emotional asteroid hitting you then, and now you're like, oh, it was sometime 15, 16 years ago. It kicked up a lot of dust. But for me, I was in this state where I was going on a lot of road trips. That was my answer. Like the had my, you know, working week, you know, Monday to Friday job. And then Friday end of day would come around. And in this kind of, you know, wrecked emotional state of going through this breakup with this person that I saw this future with, and I had kind of lost that version of myself, that sense of self, that story that I had built for myself of like, I'm going to be this person's partner going forward. In the wreckage of that, my answer was, as I said, to go on these long, long road trips. And because my dad had been in radio, because I had had audio in my blood going back years and years, and so his stepdad had been in radio and in audio, and his, you know, his family going back over the ways, I brought a recorder with me on the road trip. And I would, not the whole time, but I don't know why I had the impulse to just like record it for myself. Not every moment, that would be a lot of content, but like I thought there's something interesting in like, you know, not, oh, I'm going to record my emotional unraveling, but that for me to be able to speak out and reframe in sometimes real time, but also just, you know, put into words and record what I was going through was, well, healing. And so I was, you know, out and taking these long, you know, from through the weekend or 4-day long, long road trips. And when I would tell friends at home, they'd, you know, say, oh, A, I would love to be out on the open road. I love a road trip. Or they'd be like, well, that's weird, but interesting as recording this and recording it for whom. And I would just say, oh, it's for me, first and foremost. And whilst all this was happening, two of my close friends lost a parent very sudden, unexpected, speaking of, you know, meltdowns or emotional wallops or emotional asteroids. And they had young, young kids. And they didn't, those kids, they didn't, those kids wouldn't and couldn't know it yet, but they, the friends articulated how much they wished for the kids, though they didn't know it yet, that they could have the voice of their grandparents telling this story, or have the voice of this, their mom telling this story of, as in their grandmother, telling this story of how they met their grandfather, all of that stuff. And so whilst I was reporting all of that, when I got home, those friends who had heard me talk about how I was going through this process myself, they hired me out basically, or asked me whilst I was just working my other regular job to sit with that surviving parent once they realized what they lost, to sit with that other surviving parent. And, you know, now that they knew they needed it and wanted it, to kind of get their voice and their stories. And as I say, though it will and would come to evolve from that, that was kind of the simple beginnings of it. Because from those couple friends, I told somebody else I had done this, and they were like, oh, my friend has this, his mom, who's very old at this point, had grown up in an internment camp, her entire childhood. And I'd love for you to sit and talk with her. And you start to find that you're just, whilst you're looking the other way, getting hired out to sit with people and hear their stories and record their stories and have it be for their son, their daughter. Their first wave included, like, you know, one person who had their mentor, a teacher, reported because, you know, they feared losing that voice as well. And they wanted, you know, to hold on to that. So, you know, it was this project that kind of, you know, started to sprout from those beginnings. And as I say, like, it's since evolved a little bit, but, you know, those were kind of the beginnings of it.
Yes. And then did you lose a parent as well?
Yeah. So that was the other shoe left to drop that would then, you know, recontextualize it a bit more, which was whilst I was starting this in earnest and getting this, the story arc as a service off the ground, my dad started to get sick. And he had Lewy body dementia. If you're not familiar, or for those not familiar, it's what Robin Williams had. And it is something that in parallel both attacks your physiological nervous system such that it starts to impair your ability to just move your limbs or to have your body respond the way that you'd like it to. But in parallel, what it really does is it takes down and starts to take down your kind of your emotional and your story sense of self, so that those stories, the bits that, you know, my dad, who was also a storyteller, a raconteur, and like whenever my sister would have like a new boyfriend, she'd bring him over and she'd hit, you know, the jukebox that was my dad's storytelling and go like, B7, tell that story, you know, when you were this age. And I started to observe in him that those stories were disappearing, were receding. And as they did, it started to really both reinforce the virtue of what I was doing, of course, but also really hit me, you know, just how much we are made up of the stories. Because as they started to go, you know, so in parallel did he, and it started to become this disvirtuous kind of, you know, inward collapse of, yes, his nervous system and his physiology, but also, you know, all of the stories and the bits that made him him. And so he passed about a year and a bit ago, and I nursed him whilst I was starting the business, and thinking at the time, like, you know, whatever spiritual ego or, you know, whatever it was that was like, oh, I'm built for this. I've been meditating, you know, however long, I've done this many plant medicine ceremonies, I've done this, I'm, you know, I'm ready to like nurse my dad and carry him physically through this and, you know, care for him all the way to the end. But, you know, like Ram Dass said, like, however enlightened you might think you are, you know, spend some time with your family or spend some time in those types of circumstances and crisis, and you'll see it's not worth as much as you think it is. And you're never going to be unaffected by that. So what that experience then and that loss did is it redoubled my sense of the virtue of what I was doing and the necessity of the project, but it also it made it very clear to me the degree to which, you know, we, as I say, are, you know, pardon the cliche, made up of these stories.
Yes. And it's hard to listen or be with someone that is in pain or in a difficult time. And we tend to want to run from that, right? Because it's so difficult. But what you learned with your dad was just to listen and be and walk beside him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm hopefully not gonna, you know, keep quoting Ram Dass, but, you know, Ram Dass has this that I think is beautiful. This had this saying: "We're all just walking each other." And in my dad's case, you know, it becomes this pace that you start to observe that the pace is getting slower, but that you are, you know, I was blessed with being able to be there through that period of time, and was blessed with being able to kind of show up for it and through it. But as you say, like, it's a whole different thing to just sit with and observe somebody who's in that kind of suffering. And it's a very helpless, emotionally helpless feel. And I, you know, I know through the pandemic, there were, you know, many people who had that. And, you know, the pandemic itself was a time when people were either dealing with or trying to care for an ailing parent. They were losing that parent and in so doing losing their voice, their stories, all these things that they could never get back. Or they were sequestered away, you know, was the grandparent, whoever, as we tend to do, sadly, in North America. They're sequestered away in like a home or somewhere they couldn't get to them. And so, you know, all of these things, it, it made, again, at least my perspective on what I was doing, you know, it reaffirmed the virtue of it for sure. But it also did so in like this, you know, maelstrom of all this, you know, emotion and
Yeah, it's very difficult. Something I was reading that I really loved too was that when people listen to the stories, they love the things that didn't work out. It makes it feel okay for them not to, because, you know, they see these people as successful and kind of perfect, right? And I remember a quote of somebody that had someone tell their stories, but what people loved to hear were the times that they didn't win the talent competition, or when they didn't get the kiss from the boy, right? And you must see that all the time.
I do. It's funny. So like, I mean, I've even started working, you know, from the other side with, you know, kids. And when I was even saying prior about, you know, the things that as a young kid, you want and kind of crave to hear are about the failures, because you want both to hear and observe somebody having gone through these failures, because you will not dodge them yourself. They may not look exactly the same as they did for that person, that elder, that grandparent, what have you, but you want to see that they are navigable. You want to see that though it seems like, because you lack that longer lens perspective at this point in your life, maybe, though it seems like it's an impossible thing to get through or get past, that you will indeed get through it. And then this, at least for me, this was the other key aspect of all of it, which is what you want to observe is that somebody comes through it, and this is not a given, but that somebody comes through it and isn't hard-hearted, hasn't become calcified, particularly in their heart and in themselves, by that experience. That to be able to own the time when you failed, fell down, didn't win, didn't get the talent competition, this thing didn't work out for you, those are incredibly important chapters in the book of you and your life. But that also what really, well, uplifts someone of, you know, a younger generation, when they hear someone who has gone through all of that, yes, but gone through it without becoming hard-hearted or calcified in them. That's the real gift, I think, for somebody when they observe listening to somebody's failures and falls.
Right. And in hindsight, down the road, seeing it as a gift, you know, what happened to them that seemed so bad at the time, now they see it as part of their journey and how it led them to bigger things.
Actually, yeah. I mean, even as I was like, we mark our history by, you know, it's why they say time compresses at times, you know, when you get older, let's say, or what have you, because it's these big epic, and sometimes those are born of the emotional impacts in terms of, God forbid, a trauma or a real trauma, or, you know, again, a loss or a grief or a fall, metaphorically or literally. And that it is, again, those things that mark, well, your life, and are what give your life color and texture. And it is those things that people crave to hear. You know, it is also, or, you know, one of the things that I have observed by talking to and talking with so many people, and one of the gifts that apparently so many friends saw in me that I did not yet see in myself, was this capacity to, yes, give space, hold space, so that people might be encouraged to and feel open to share, but also, you know, so that I can help, you know, create as we go, from the perspective of both being an intent listener, but also being a virtuous mirror. We aren't always for ourselves. Often we're not for ourselves. Of being a virtuous mirror for those listeners, I could create kind of ways to help them reframe and recontextualize the story of their lives so that they aren't living in shame around that failure. Living in shame is a big one. Shame is a big landmine for my service and as I try to navigate through these stories with people. Because, you know, underneath that shame are these events that if they put properly without blaming or shaming themselves, if they could properly integrate and own them as, you know, just aspects of their journey, as you say, then they'd have a basis from which to go forward and feel far better about and maybe change the arc of how they run through these patterns even in their lives. So it can be pretty potent if you can own that stuff and not hide it.
Yeah, because that runs into how we can transform the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves so that we can reframe them and then become the manifestors that we can be without that shame and without that fear or dread of facing what we think is so dark, right? You must have felt that when you were on your road trip, how it transformed or reframed what you were thinking.
I did. Absolutely. And likewise, I had, which I now do with younger people as like, so the two aspects of what I do with younger people are to help them, yes, own their story, but as they're younger, they have, you know, typically less, you know, of these epic events. But I also, when I was doing my road trip and when I was recording myself, yes, some of it was to own or to reclaim or to reframe the story of my life as I was going through it. And so therefore to set myself up better to go forward. But I was also allowing myself to entertain, to go off what you were saying about creating. And this is what I do with younger people as well. I have them talk to older people so they have some context again for their stories and that how long a life actually is and all of those, you know, ups and downs beyond their story. And then, as I was doing for myself, I also had them frame what they will come to understand is their capacity to create their story going forward. Because we do that too. We are doing it all the time. And if, in that case, they can not succumb to, you know, feeling, well, a form of shame or guilt or weird kind of self-limiting beliefs around what that story going forward is, then they can actually, you know, create and co-create what their story is going forward as well. So I observed, at least in my experience with the road trip, I observed it going in both directions in terms of how they fed one another and one created foundation or the other going forward, but also just how potent.
Yeah, so they're able to recreate or reframe and imagine something greater when they let go of the darkness of the shame or the story that they're holding, right?
Wonders.
Yeah, so beautiful. Have you maybe a brief example of that, how that has transformed someone that you know?
Honestly, the ones that I find most beautiful very often are the ones where you see an older person reframe what they had both kind of sadly put up in the attic in that dark room that they never explored or went into. It you know, became this psychological, you know, little walled off corridor of their mind. And I had an older lady who, in telling that story and giving herself this gift of going through that process of telling that story, then we at the tail end kind of went through the exercise and plotted out what up until that point she was, by her description, you know, barely living and not really, well, not really kind of not just living with any joy or, you know, kind of any curiosity and exploring, you know, what she wanted to do with her life, but as a, I think she was 73 at the time. And she then went to school for horticulture, started to, you know, create a small gardening business, just, well, I mean, in a very literal, metaphorical way, things started to bloom out of that soil once it became fertile, not to put too fine a point on it, you know, like, and it's those that I find the most inspiring. I mean, there have been a lot of them. And when people start to see it as a gift that they can give themselves and how it can change and shape, again, how they frame their lives going forward or what they see as possible for it, that's when I kind of, you know, see the full power of it. And it kind of floors me and touches me and moves me when I see somebody. You know, she didn't need to be at 73 years old, but there was something so beautiful about that age and stage and then starting something new that she never thought possible.
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the stories we tell ourselves is that by the time we reach a certain age, it's too late, that we can't do anything more. And then when you shine light on that program or story, then you go, wait a minute, that's not true. But it's just, it lurks there, influencing us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny when I was working with her and she had come to me through one of her sons, and her sons never visited. And she was a little bit kind of apprehensive. And this is another thing that I deal with sometimes. And it sometimes feels like for them, they might not articulate it this way, but for them, it's like when your son or your grandson never comes to visit, is not seeing you very often. And then they like come over to your house and they're like looking at the things that they want when you're gone. She's like, they want stories, but they don't come and visit ever. And they're like coming over to my house and putting like post-its on this lamp. Oh, this picture, this painting. I'll take this when you're gone. And she was very apprehensive at first because she was framing it in that context. But then by the time she started to go into it, and to really do it for her own benefit, or getting, you know, downstream that her son and maybe grandson might benefit as well, just when she saw it as for her is when it started to, you know, reap that benefit. So, you know.
What a beautiful thing you do, Ty. I love it.
Sweet.
Yes. Any final things that you want to share that are really important for people to realize?
I think that, you know, we have heard and we hear about all the time, you know, kind of the story we tell ourselves, and we think about it in the context of like even affirmations, which are great, or, you know, our self-talk. But when we come to understand that, you know, this is the foundation of who we are and who we might, how we might see ourselves, who we might, again, want to be. These are all, you know, kind of rearticulations of stuff we've been talking about. Then you can come to see how truly potent this can be. And I think that, you know, hopefully just hearing the story we tell ourselves, which is out there in the zeitgeist very often, that it hasn't become diluted to them in its meaning, and that they can see this service or something like it as being that potent for them. So I just want to affirm that like it can so profoundly change the way that you move forward through the days of your life, just to own and, you know, healthily, virtuously reframe the story.
Beautiful and so potent. Thank you, Ty. How do people find what you're doing and learn?
Yeah, so, I mean, they can go to thestoryarc.ca. That's, I mean, Canada, as the .ca would seem to imply, but that's thestoryarc, arc like a boat, thestoryarc.ca. And they can just get in touch and reach out to me through there. There's a contact page, but it's basically just Tynan, my full name, Tynan, at thestoryarc.ca.
Okay, and we'll put those links in the show notes. Thank you, Ty. Thank you for everything you do.
That's lovely. Thank you, Jane. Thanks for the chat. I loved it.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There's one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.